ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेशगोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते। तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरि वृषभानुसुते देवि प्रणमामि हरिप्रिय। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्रीयद्वैतगदाधर श्रीवासादिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण। At the very onset of presentist discourse, I would like to initially submit my most respectfully prostrated obeisances unto the lotus feet of their divine conjugal lordships, Sri Sri Radha and Shyama Sundara Dev, along with their perpetual entourage, such as Sri Lalita Devi, Sri Vishakha Devi, Sri Ruparati Manjari, etc. And along with them, I would also like to offer my most respectfully prostrated homages unto the lotus feet of their divine lordships, Sri Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Sri Nityananda Prabhu, along with their eternal companions and associates like Sri Larupa Goswami, Sri Lasanatana Goswami, and all the six Goswamis of Sri Dham Vrindavan. Finally, I would like to pay my obeisances and due respects unto the lotus feet of His Divine Grace, Abhaya Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who has very artistically, being an adept, propagated the doctrine of Krishna consciousness throughout this world in this present modern era in a most unique and fantastic, unprecedented way. Conclusively, now I would like to, by first paying my obeisances unto all the senior Vaishnavas and devotees present herein, now I would like to commence our proposed context of discussion, our proposed topic of discussion, the topic of Sri Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, or the Nectar of Devotion compiled by Srila Rupa Goswami as it enters into the third day session. So, as we have been discussing since past 2 days, Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada has a very unique position among all the acharyas or the transcendental preceptors of Bhagavata Dharma found within all the four eras or yugas, namely Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapar Yuga and Kali Yuga. There have been many acharyas, there have been many preceptors of transcendence. There have been many effulgent personalities on this earthly domain who have just appeared in order to propagate the devotional service unto the lotus feet of the Lord, like Shripad Ramanuj, Shripad Matva, Shripad Nimbaditya, Shripad Vishnu Swami, Shripad Vallabhacharya, Shripad Ramanandacharya, Shripad Nath Muni, Shripad Yamunacharya, Lord Vyasadeva, Shukadeva Goswami, the 12 Mahajanas. And likewise, there have been many great acharyas in all the four yugas or eras combined. But Srila Rupa Goswami's unique contribution to the devotional sphere, to the sphere of devotional service, is that Rupa Goswami, he has presented Bhagavad Bhakti, Sri Krishna Bhakti, the devotional service unto Lord Krishna, in a very unprecedented way, by establishing devotional service on the firm basis, on the firm grounds of Rasa Shastra. Now a question arises, that what is Rasa Shastra? And how has Srila Rupa Goswami established, how he has been successful in establishing the Krishna Bhakti as Rasatmika, how he has been successful in establishing Shri Krishna Bhakti or devotion unto Lord Krishna as rasa personified or as full of the rasas, how he has been successful in doing that. So first we will need to know what is rasa shastra. Actually, rasa means juicy, mellow, or those sentiments, especially juicy, mellow, can also mean liquid object. But herein, rasa is not meaning any liquid object. Normally, rasa means juice of any fruit or any flower. But herein, when we talk about rasa shastra, the juicy, mellow does not mean the juice of any fruit or any flower or any other type of tasty, relishable, palatable liquid. No. Here, the word rasa or juicy, mellow is translated as sentiment of the mind, which is pleasure-giving sentiment. Pleasure-giving sentiment of the mind or pleasure-giving condition or status of the mind. That is what we mean by rasa here. When we talk about mundane rasa, mundane rasa is that special enchanting mellow that entertains and attracts the mind. But now what's the difference between this mundane mellow, prakriti jaliya rasa, unconscious mundane inert mellow, what is the difference between this and the aprakrit chinmay rasa, the spiritual completely transcendental mellow? So the spiritual and completely transcendental mellow is relished on the level of Atma or soul. But the mundane mellow is relished on the level of mundane mind. That is the difference. And the second difference is that all the mundane mellows, they are rather products and byproducts. They are rather emanations from all the material sense objects. There are five senses, and these five senses have correspondingly their five sense objects. So there are five knowledge acquiring senses, pancha gyan indriyas, like ears, eyes, nostrils or nose, tongue and skin. And all of them, all of these pancha gyan indriya or the five knowledge acquiring senses, they have their own sense objects known as pancha vishaya or pancha tanmatra, like shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasgandha, like sound, touch, taste, smell, etc. These are the sense objects. So, when in the mundane sphere, when the senses or the knowledge acquiring senses, when they unite or combine with their particular respective sense objects, then the mellow which is tasted on the level of mind, the mellow or the pleasure which is relished, or which is savored, or which is enjoyed, or which is experienced on the level of mind and intellect, mundane mind and intellect comprising the subtle body, that is known as mundane, inert, unconscious, material mellow, a prakrit jadiya ras. But the transcendental mellow, which is completely spiritual and conscious and eternal, and not temporal, like the mundane mellow, but unlike the mundane mellow, which is perpetual and not temporal, that transcendental spiritual mellow is rather product of the Ahladini Shakti or the pleasure giving potency of the Lord, which gives pleasure both to the Lord and his devotees. So, Srila Rupa Goswami Pad, what he has done is that he has used all the terminologies and the whole process which was rather found existing prior to him. The whole process of Rasa Shastra, that Rasa Shastra which existed prior to Rupa Goswami's and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advent, that Rasa Shastra which was found by Bharat Muni, you must have heard the name, that Rasa Shastra which was found by, invented by Bharat Muni, and then which was later on developed by other successive acharyas of the mundane Rasa Shastra, of the mundane Rasa Shastra line of thought. The successive acharyas coming after Bharat Muni, who were the preceptors, teachers of the mundane Rasa Shastra, like Lollat Bhatt, Abhinav Gupta, Sri Shankuk, etc. All these acharyas who have come after Bharat Muni and who have all explained the mundane Rasa Shastra, they have all developed that Rasa Shastra into many stages and have invented whole process of establishing any particular relationship between two people in this world as a rasa. But Rupa Goswami rejects the idea. Rupa Goswami, according to Rupa Goswami's perception, any type of mundane pleasure arising from temporal material sense objects cannot be actually considered rasa. Because according to Rupa Goswami, rasa has to meet some conditions, some requirements. And what are these conditions? What are these requirements? The first condition and the first requirement is that rasa is never temporal. It is always existing eternal. Whereas all the relationships and all the sense objects found within this material world, all those sensual items and those relationships based on those sensual items are all temporary. That is why rasa has to be eternal, whereas the mundane so-called pleasure-giving mellows are not eternal. They are rather temporary. That is why they cannot be called rasa in any sense. This is Rupa Goswami's proposition. And that is why, and there are two other things which lack in the mundane rasa. In mundane rasa, there are two other things which lack. The first condition is it has to be eternal, which it is not. That is why it cannot be called rasa. The second thing, that in order for any mundane rasa to be called rasa, in order for any mundane mellow to be called rasa, it has to meet second criterion, second requirement. What is the second requirement? So, three requirements have to be fulfilled by mundane mellows in order for themselves to be considered as rasa, but which they do not fulfill, and that is why they are not considered rasa. The first requirement is the temporary, that they are temporary, they are not eternal, they should be eternal, which they are not. And the second and third requirements are being described in a verse, in a shloka compiled by Srila Kavikarnapur Goswami in his Alankar Kaustubh. Srila Kavikarnapur Goswami, one of the foremost associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the son of Sri Shivananda Sen, and who is one of the principal associates and contemporaries of the six Goswamis, the Shad Goswami Padas of Sridham Vrindavan. This Kavikarnapur Goswami is explaining the literal meaning, the literal definition, the Shabdik Paribhasha of the transcendental rasa. So, according to Kavikarnapur Goswami, rasa has to meet another two requirements, which are as follows.
Raso sarashchamatkaro yam vinana raso rasah tachchamatkara saratve sarvatraivad bhuto rasah.
This is Kavikarnapur Goswami's his definition of rasa. Raso sarah chamatkaro yam vinana raso rasah. What is the essence of transcendental aprakrita rasa or transcendental mellow? What is the essence of transcendental mellow? Just like yesterday we saw how the essence of godhood, bhagavata sar, the essence of godhood is not opulence or the mood of opulence, aishwarya or aishwarya gyan, whereas the essence of godhood, bhagavata sar, is madhurya and madhurya gyan, sweetness and the mood of sweetness. In the same way, what is the essence of rasa? Just like the essence of milk is clarified butter, ghrit. In the same way, the essence of rasa is chamatkar, or the mood of surprise, astonishment and amusement. The mood of surprise, the mood of astonishment, the mood of amusement, that is the essence of rasa, transcendental rasa.
Raso sarash chamatkaro yam vina na raso rasah.
And without this essence, if it lacks the essence, it cannot be called rasa at all. Rasa has to have chamatkar, rasa has to have The mood of amusement and surprise within it, without which it cannot be known as, it cannot be denoted as, it cannot be designated as, it cannot be entitled as rasa, it cannot be known as rasa. It cannot get to be known as rasa without having chamatkar or astonishment within itself. Raso saharas chamatkaro yam vinana raso rasaha. And what is the second requirement? Tat chamatkar saratve sarvatraivad bhuto rasaha. The second requirement is that this rasa is in all the times and in all the places it appears as adbhuta, as newer and newer. It never appears as old. What does it mean by surprise? We say that the surprise or the astonishment or the amusement is the essence of rasa. So what does it actually mean? It means that just like when we feel surprised, even in this material world, when we feel surprised or astonished upon experiencing some particular incident or occurrence or event, at that time what happens? At that time, why do we feel surprised? We feel surprised because we have not seen that particular object, that particular item, that particular entity, that particular personage, or that particular event before. In the same way, we are seeing it, we are seeing, we are experiencing, we are visualizing something new. Something new, a newer object, newer item, new event, new occurrence, new incident. Any time when we experience something which we have not experienced before, any time when we experience something unprecedented, so to speak, that is what causes surprise. And that is why when it is said that rasa, the essence of rasa is chamatkar or surprise or astonishment, then it automatically means, then by default it means that why rasa appears as surprise, why the experience of transcendental mellows appear on every step of experience, on every step of experience as surprising. Why do they appear as surprising? Because they appear newer and newer, they appear apurva, they appear unprecedented at every step of their experience. All the transcendental mellows, they appear unprecedented. They are never the same. After every fragmental part of the second, they appear newer and newer. And that is why vayam tu na vitripyam uttama shloka vikrame yachrinavatam rasagyanam swadu swadu pade pade anandam budhivardhanam pratipadam purunamrita swadanam. That is why on every step of devotional service, the ananda, the transcendental felicity and bliss is experienced in newer and newer form. It never becomes old. It always appears newer and newer. And how can a particular object be, it can appear newer, in a newer form? There are two reasons. In this material world, any particular object can be experienced as something newer and not as something antique or old due to two reasons. And now, what reason applies here among the two? What is the reason, what is the cause which makes rasa appear newer and newer, the transcendental rasa? Now, we can understand this by understanding how any particular object appears newer and newer in the material world due to two reasons. The first reason, any mundane object will appear newer to the person who is experiencing that object is that if that object has developed such an unprecedented quality, which was not present, if that object or item or person has developed within itself such an unprecedented quality, attribute or characteristic, which was not present within its swarupa, within the nature of that item before, then that item appears to be newer. This is one reason. How any mundane item can appear as newer, not as old. And the second reason any mundane item can appear as new is the inside the nature, within the personality of that mundane object, nothing gets changed, nothing gets amended. It is still the same as it is, as it was before. But the person who experiences that mundane object, because there has been a great time lapse that the person also had experienced this same object many years or much time before. And since now much time has passed, much time has been lapsed, much time has gone in between, so this person has forgotten the experience of this old object. But now, after many years, he is again coming into contact with this same old object, and this object has not developed anything new within itself. Now try to listen, try to understand this very sincerely. The object itself has not developed any new characteristic within its identity. But because there has been a great time lapse, and because the person who experienced that object now has forgotten everything about that object, and now after much time he again comes into contact with that object and he thinks, oh, this object is new. So a prakrita rasa or the transcendental mellow is which of the two? The first, the reason why it appears newer, due to the first reason or due to the second reason? Due to the first, not due to the second. This is called analysis. This is called philosophical subtle analysis of any particular thing which is discussed. So, transcendental mellow, unlike material object, unlike any material item, does not appear newer just because there pervades a great time lapse between the person who experiences those mellows and those mellows. No. But this transcendental mellow appears newer and newer because it actually develops within its personality something newer at every step of experience. Now there is also one third cause how and why in the material world any mundane object or any mundane mellow is experienced as newer. There is also third reason apart from the two reasons that I gave. There is one third reason. What happens sometimes is, in the material world, a person, the object which he experiences has not developed anything new within its personality. But the desire in the person who wants to exploit that object for his sense gratification, the desire in that person is rather born again and again. So, just like the example of a lusty man. Just like if we can give an example of a lusty man. So a lusty man, what he does? The woman that he enjoys with is the same woman. No new change has been made in the personality, in the demeanor, in the attitude, in the outer behavior, in the inner behavior, in the personality or anything. No change has been made in that woman with whom that lusty man is enjoying with. This is one example. But still, to this lusty man, this woman appears newer and newer for experience. What's the reason? The reason is that although the woman is the same, that object which he experiences is the same. It has not developed anything new. But rather it is worn out and torn out. It has been experienced many times by that man. That man has enjoyed that woman many times by now. But then what still makes his union with that woman appear newer and newer to him? The reoccurrence of the desire to enjoy is what makes that particular enjoyable item appear as newer. Wo jo bhogne ki vasna hai, wo jo bhogne ki ichha hai, wo bar bar utpann hone ke karan, बार बार नए सिरे से भोगने की इच्छा उत्पन्न होने के कारण उस भोग्य वस्तु को नवीन जैसा बना देती है, नवीन जैसा बना देती है, जबकि भोग्य वस्तु नवीन नहीं है, बार बार उसको भोगा जा चुका है, फिर भी. That I was speaking in Hindi. That lusty man, what happens, not just lusty man, This is just one example. We can apply, we can see this example, or we can apply this conclusion or this theory applied in throughout the whole material world with all the sense objects, not just with in this case. But this is just one example for our comprehension, for our understanding. So when lusty man tries to enjoy this woman, although this woman has been enjoyed by this lusty man many times, why still this lusty man feels that as if he's enjoying something newer and newer? Because the reoccurrence of the desire to enjoy. Because of the reoccurrence. Reoccurrence means there is this desire to enjoy. After enjoyment, it fades away. But then after some time, it again comes back. So this reoccurrence of the desire to enjoy is what covers the real characteristic of the experienced enjoyed object. And it makes the same old enjoyed object appear as new. The reoccurrence of the desire to enjoy does all this. But is it the same thing with the transcendental mellow? These are three reasons how any particular object in this material world can be experienced as newer. These are the three reasons. So the third reason, because of this third reason, the transcendental spiritual mellow is being experienced as something new at every step of experience? No. Not due to this third reason. The transcendental mellow is being experienced newer and newer at every step of experience, not due to either the second reason or the third reason, but due to first reason, because it develops within itself something new. That is why it is experienced as something newer and newer. Not because of the forgettance. Not because of the forgottance of the experienced object. That's the second reason. Something appears new. Not because of the forgottance of the experienced object, that the experienced object appears new in the spiritual world. And not because the reoccurrence of the desire to enjoy that object, that object appears new. No, that object appears new, that spiritual object appears as new, because it actually has developed something new within its personality. So the second and third reasons are not applicable to the transcendental spiritual mellows, and that is why what is that which causes the transcendental mellow to appear as unprecedented, and that is the unique characteristic, the unprecedented characteristic or qualities found within those transcendental mellows due to the inconceivable internal potency of the Lord, which makes those transcendental mellows appear unprecedented and never been enjoyed before. And that is why this is the first reason why transcendental rasa is known as rasa, because it has the mood of surprise, and the mood of surprise it appears surprising, astonishing, because it actually has something new within itself at every step of experience. And this characteristic is not found within the mundane mellow or any mundane object or any mundane pleasure. That is why, because any mundane pleasure or mellow or object does not fulfill the second condition. That is why first condition is not fulfilled. It is temporary, not eternal. Second condition is also not fulfilled. And the third condition that has to be fulfilled in order to be called an rasa, the third condition is that there is purna tanmayata, there is full absorption in rasa, in transcendental mellow. Because transcendental mellow appears completely unprecedented, that is why those who are tasting this transcendental mellow, they are fully absorbed. They become fully absorbed in relishing this transcendental mellow in such a way that all the other functions of all of their outer senses and inner senses stop, and only the process of enjoyment remains. Now, this is not found within this material world. This stage is not found within any type of relationship of this material world. That both the person who is experiencing, who is enjoying, and the object which is being enjoyed, they forget themselves. In the spiritual world, this happens. The person who is enjoying and the person who is being enjoyed, they forget each other.
They even forget that we are enjoying each other. And only the process of enjoyment remains, such an absorption. This stage is known as Prema Vilas Vivart, which is the last stage and which is the most confidential thing if you will make a penetrating perusal.
Yes.
If you will make penetrating perusal, in-depth profound study into the Rai Ramanand and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Samvad, into the conversation that has ensued between Rai Ramanand and Sriman Mahaprabhu Chaitanya Dev 5 centuries back on the banks of Godavari, and which has been described by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in a very elaborate fashion in the 8th chapter of the Madhya Lila of Chaitanya Charitamritam, then you will find that the last confidential, transcendental, spiritual secret that Rai Ramanand has unveiled, that Rai Ramanand has uncovered from its coveted form, is the secret or the topic or the theme of Prema Vilas Vivart. And after hearing Prem Vilas Vivart, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put his hand on the mouth of Rai Ramanand and said, "Now don't speak anything more. This is it. This is the Sadhya Vastu. This is the Antim Sima. This is the last limit of spiritual attainment. This is the last limit that can be attained in spirituality. This is beyond this, I don't think that there exists anything else to be obtained." This is Prem Vilas Vivart. What is Prem Vilas Vivart? Srimati Radhika and Shri Krishna Chandra, they completely forget each other, and the process of enjoyment becomes so condensed that they even forget their own existence and that they are enjoying, or that they even forget about the process of enjoyment. But only the process of enjoyment remains. Only the aswadana kriya remains. Aswadak and aswadya, they forget everything. Those who are being enjoyed and those who are enjoying, they forget each other, and only the process of enjoyment remains. Aswadya and aswadak principle is completely forgotten. Only the aswadan principle, the principle of enjoyment remains. And this is Prem Vilas Vivart, and this proves that there is complete absorption in the process of enjoyment. And this kind of absorption cannot be found ever in this material world. And that is why, because of these three conditions, complete absorption, transcendental mellow has complete absorption. Transcendental mellow appears unprecedented and full of astonishment and surprise. And transcendental mellow is perpetual, not temporal. And because these three conditions or these three requirements are not met, are not fulfilled by any mundane mellow, that is why mundane mellow actually cannot be called rasa in any sense. This is what Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami have concluded. So, but what Rupa Goswami has done? What is his unique contribution? Rupa Goswami, he has utilized the already existing rasa shastra for establishing Krishna bhakti as rasatmika, as rasa swarupa, as rasa swarupa, as rasamayi. Establishing Krishna bhakti as rasamayi, as full of rasas or transcendental mellows. Establishing Krishna bhakti as rasamayi or full of transcendental mellows, Rupa Goswami has used the already existing rasa shastra, which existed prior to his advent. But that rasa shastra was written by those authors, by those so-called knowers of mundane mellows, who were considering mundane mellows to be the actual mellows and who had no knowledge of the transcendental spiritual mellows. Bharat Muni had no knowledge of transcendental spiritual mellow, and all the other successive acharyas of so-called mundane rasa shastra had no knowledge about transcendental spiritual mellows. Before Rupa Goswami Pad, rasa was considered to be indicating any mundane material relationship. Rasa was considered not only in India, throughout the whole world, as only indicating any mundane material phenomenal relationship. Jada sambandh, not chinmaya sambandh with Krishna that the jivatma has, but that one jivatma has with another jivatma, that one living entity, the relation he has with another living entity, that material relation, that temporary relation, and then the pleasure which is derived out of that mundane relation, that pleasure was to be considered rasa before the advent of Rupa Goswami. So, relationship between father and son, mother and son, relationship between sister and brother, brother and brother, friends, relationship between master and servant, relationship between lover and his beloved, all these relationships of mundane platform were considered as rasa by all these acharyas, beginning with Bharat Muni, who existed prior to Rupa Goswami and who are considered the acharyas of bhautik rasa shastra, material rasa shastra. But although it has been declared in the shastras very openly, just like yesterday we quoted the mantra of the Taittiriya Upanishad of the Veda, and the mantra was very boldly declaring that raso vaisah rasam hyevayam labdhva nandi bhavati, that Lord Krishna, he is rasa or transcendental mellow personified, and the devotional service pertaining to that Lord is also full of transcendental mellows. Not only the Lord is full of transcendental mellows, but the devotional service pertaining to that Lord, pertaining means in relation to that Lord, that devotional service is also full of transcendental mellows. She is also rasatmika, bhakti is also rasatmika. But even though the acharyas like Ramanuj, Madhva, they accepted that bhakti is rasatmika, they failed to establish logically and theoretically how bhakti can be transformed into transcendental rasa. Now what Rupa Goswami did is he used the whole process and the whole terminology and all the technical terms of rasa shastra, of the mundane rasa shastra written by Bharat Muni, etc. He used all those technical terms of rasa shastra, all the theory and the whole process of transforming any sentiment into rasa, and he applied it in relation to the transcendental devotional service. Because these technical terms which you will find in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the nectar of devotion, these technical terms like vibhav, anubhav, sattvik bhav, vyabhichari bhav, sanchari bhav, sthai rati, sthai bhav, etc. All these technical terms are actually found in the mundane rasa shastra written by Bharat Muni. But what has Rupa Goswami done? Rupa Goswami has used all the same technical terms of the mundane rasa shastra. The whole process of establishing any particular sentiment in the material world as rasa, the whole process which was given by the Bharat Muni and the other acharyas, the whole same process and all the technical terms of the already existing rasa shastra, Rupa Goswami has just utilized those processes and technical terms of rasa shastra in relation to bhakti, and he has just changed the direction, just like what Jiva Goswami has done. Jiva Goswami has compiled the 26th grammar in the history of India. Sanskrit language has 25 different grammars written on it by different acharyas, by different preceptors of Sanskrit language. So far, in the history of thousands of years, Sanskrit language has 25 different traditions of grammar on it. Different schools of thought on grammar. And so 25 different types of grammatical books have been written by 25 different acharyas before Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami is the 26th acharya, and he is actually the last acharya in the history of Sanskrit language to write the last grammar, which is Shri Harinamamrita Vyakarana. And what has Jiva Goswami done? He has used all the principles and all the technical terms that the Panini used in his already existing grammar of Ashtadhyayi, that Kalapa Vyakaran, whatever that is mentioned in Kalapa Vyakaran, these are the principal grammars which existed prior to Jiva Goswami's writing Harinamamrita. So whatever that is mentioned in Kalapa Vyakaran, whatever which is mentioned in Panini Vyakaran, whatever which is mentioned in Saraswat Vyakaran, whatever which is mentioned in Chandra Vyakaran, and likewise whatever which is mentioned in all the 25 preceding grammars, Rupa Goswami made a thorough study of all the 25 grammars in just 6 months period of time. And nowadays, I challenge all the scholars of Sanskrit language who have either come before Jiva Goswami or who have come after Jiva Goswami. Now, sitting on this Vyasasan, I challenge all the scholars of Sanskrit language who either came before Jiva or who are coming after Jiva. Has any one of them completed, what to speak of, 25 grammars? Has any one of them completed the perusal of even one grammar in the period of 6 months? Even one grammar, in order to thoroughly study it, takes at least 3 to 4 years. And Jiva Goswami made a thorough study and thorough comparison of all the 25 grammars in just a period of 6 months. And then he has written the 26th grammar of Sanskrit language, which is the final, which has no mistakes, no faults, no flaws, no discrepancies existing in all the preceding 25 grammars. Yes. That is Harinamamrita. And what is the second uniqueness of Harinam? This is the first unique position. What is the second unique position? The second unique position is, he has used the same principle while, you know, while writing the Sanskrit grammar. Jiva Goswami has used the same process, the same principle that Panini and other major grammaticians, they have used. Vaiyakaranikas, grammaticians, Vaiyakaranikas, they have used. The same process he has also used. But what's the difference? The difference is, Jiva Goswami has just changed the direction of the whole grammar. Prior to him, grammar existed just for the sake of teaching the language. But Jiva Goswami, he changed the direction of the grammar following the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He changed the direction of the grammar. Okay, secondarily, grammar may teach the language, but primarily, grammar will guide any person who is reading that grammar to serve Lord Krishna. So Jiva Goswami made the grammar, the already existing grammar, and the already existing laws of the grammar, rules of the grammar, he rewrote those things in such a way that any person, any student, any empiric pedant, any empiric pupil reading that grammar will not only understand the language, but will rather have the love unto the lotus feet of Lord Krishna emanate in his heart. And Jiva Goswami, he has made pratigya, he has made promise in the last part of Harinamamrita grammar. In the very ending portion of Harinamamrita grammar, Jiva Goswami promises to any person who studies his grammar, Jiva Goswami promises him. Jiva Goswami is Vilas Manjari, the eternal maid servant of Srimati Radhika in the Nitya Nikunj Leela, in the eternal pastimes of Radha Govind in Vrindavan. She serves as Vilas Manjari, maid servant of Srimati Radhika. So this Shri Jiva Goswami Pad, who has assumed male form in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, this Jiva Goswami Pad is now writing in the very last part of Harinamamrita grammar, that suppose if a person or if a student or if a devotee who is studying this grammar written by me, if he does not find time to chant his rounds. And at that time, the rule was not so flexible or liberal like we have now, 16 rounds. At that time, rule was minimum 300,000 at the time of the six Goswamis. Within the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, you must chant 192 rounds per day. But then 450 years after, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, he made at least 100,000, 64 rounds. But then Srila Prabhupada, knowing the fallen condition, fallen stage of the Western world, made it into 16 rounds. So at that time, 192 rounds was the quota. And 16 rounds, if you want to chant Hare Krishna mantra, takes 2 hours nicely on a medium pace. And 192 rounds, 6 hours, or we can say 6 hours for 100 for 64 rounds, and for 192 rounds, 18 hours per day. So Jiva Goswami, considering his situation, he has written that if any Vaishnava, he does not find time for chanting his rounds by studying my grammar, then I excuse him. He may not chant his rounds even if he just studies my grammar and dedicates 3 to 4 years of his life in just studying the grammar written by me and does not chant these rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, he will be excused. Rather, he will get the same result. By studying my grammar, he will also get Prema Bhakti. That does not mean that Jiva Goswami is advocating that, You should never chant the rounds. But he's saying, because if you want to study the grammar, you must memorize at least 20 to 25 sutras, aphorisms of grammar every day. And that is not an easy thing. That requires a lot of time. And Jiva Goswami knows everything, because he has remained as teacher whole his life. Jiva Goswami, he has remained as a teacher. He used to teach all the bhakti shastras to many of the students who were his disciples. So he has actually remained teacher his whole lifetime. Practically all of the six Goswamis, they were teaching every day to their students. And these students were not the students who just wanted knowledge from them. These students were actually surrendered disciples who had renounced the whole world thoroughly just to attain prema bhakti unto the lotus feet of the Lord. So Jiva Goswami Pad promises at the end of Harinamamrit that if one studies only my grammar for 3 to 4 years being a student, and if he does not find time for chanting rounds, that's okay. He should just study this grammar. By simply studying this grammar, he will attain the same result as chanting the rounds. Very, very bold promise that he has given. So, just like Jiva Goswami, he just changed the direction of the grammar. Actually, this is all the gift of Mahaprabhu's associates. No other Acharya has done it. No other Acharya before the six Goswamis or before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has ever tried to change the direction of the grammar or the direction of the Rasa Shastra. Only our Acharyas have done all these things. All these krantis, all these revolutions, only our Acharyas have done. The whole credit goes only to the Acharyas of Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. So, likewise, Rupa Goswami, he changed the direction of the Rasa Shastra, the Bhautik Rasa Shastra. And he made the mundane Rasa Shastra transformed into transcendental Rasa Shastra, depicting the transcendental, divine, devotional, spiritual, nectarian mellows. Same terminology he uses of Vibhav, Anubhav, Sattvik, Vyabhichari, but in relation to Shri Krishna and his bhakti, not in relation to any mundane relationship. Everything is the same. Yes, all the categories, all the divisions of Rasa Shastra, all the technical terms of Rasa Shastra, all the process of Rasa Shastra is the same here. He has just changed the direction of the Rasa Shastra. But this is not so easy. In order to establish Bhagavad Bhakti or Krishna Bhakti as Rasatmika, in order to establish devotional service into five relationships of Shant, Dasya, Sakhya, Vatsalya and Shringar, in order to establish devotional service in five primary mellows and seven secondary mellows. Which are the seven secondary mellows? Adbhutaras, the mellow of wonder; Hasyaras, the mellow of laughter; Veeraras, the mellow of chivalry or heroism; Rudraras, the mellow of anger; Bhayanakras, the mellow of fear; Disgust, the mellow of disgust; Vibhatsaras, these are the seven secondary mellows; Sapta Gaunaras and Pancha Mukhyaras, five primary and seven secondary, in total 12 rasas or 12 transcendental spiritual mellows. So Jiva Rupa Goswami, he made these 12 transcendental spiritual mellows connected with Vibhav, Anubhav, Sattvik and Vyabhichari. So, it is said that as long as sthai rati or the permanent sentiment, sthai bhav or sthai rati, or the permanent sentiment of a devotee, as long as this sthai rati or sthai bhav that does not get mixed with anubhav, vibhav, sattvik bhav and vyabhichari or sanchari bhav, then until that time it cannot be known as rasa. Only when sthai bhav or sthai rati gets mixed with vibhav, anubhav, sattvik and vyabhichari, only then it becomes known as rasa. Otherwise not. Devotee may say that I have relationship of fraternity with Shri Krishna. That's all right. But still your relationship of fraternity, sakhya rati or sakhya bhav, cannot be transformed into sakhya ras. Sakhya rati or sakhya bhav, the mood of fraternity, cannot be transformed into the mellow of fraternity. Mellow means rasa and mood means bhav. Sakhya bhav or sakhya rati, the mood of fraternity, cannot be considered transformed into the mellow of fraternity, sakhya rasa, As long as Sakhya Bhav does not get combined with Sthayi Bhav, Anubhav, Vibhav and Sattvik and Vyabhichari. So these are four rasa samagris or four constituents of rasa. And when these four constituents of rasa, they get combined with Sthayi Bhav or Sthayi Rati. And there are five types of Sthayi Rati. All the Panch Mukhya Bhakti Ras, all the five primary devotional relationships like Shant, Dasya, Sakhya, Vatsalya and Shringar, they are the five types of Sthayi Rati or the five types of Sthayi Bhav. The seven secondary like love, laughter, chivalry, anger, etc., they are not considered five permanent relationships or the Sthayi Bhav. They are not considered to be Sthayi Bhav. Sthayi Bhav means only the five primary, not the seven secondary. So when the five primary types of relationships get mixed with their respective corresponding Anubhav, Vibhav, etc., then they become transformed into Rasa. So what happens that on the level of Bhava Bhakti, devotee gets Rati or Sthayi Bhav, but he still does not get Vibhav, Anubhav, Sattvik and Vyabhichari in full quantity. Only when he reaches the stage of Prema Bhakti, does he get Vibhav, Anubhav, Sattvik and Vyabhichari in full quantity. So only on the stage of Prema Bhakti, Rati or Bhav becomes transformed into Rasa. Just like Sthayi Bhav or Sthayi Rati, permanent sentiment, is like aqueous base found within all types of liquid medicines. If you will buy, or if you will, you know, if you will buy a cough syrup or a cough expectorant liquid from the pharmacy, then you will see on the ingredient panel, you will see written that there are two types of ingredients, active ingredients and inactive ingredients. But in India, they have on the liquid medicines, they have different system of writing, they have different way of writing ingredients. They write like this: base ingredient and the other ingredients. So in India, if you buy any cough syrup or expectorant liquid medicine, the base ingredient will be the basis of the medicine. Or we can say 75% or 90% of the medicine will be the base ingredient. And only the rest or remaining 10% of the medicine will be the other ingredients. But actually the other ingredients are the one who make medicine known as medicine. Yeah. So actually the other ingredients, they are the one which make one particular medicine different from other medicine. But the base ingredient stays the same in all the cough syrups. The base ingredient is the aqueous base. Particular type of medicinal water that is used to make any cough syrup, any medicine, any liquid medicine, that particular type of aqueous base, that particular type of medicinal fluid or medicinal liquid is known as aqueous base. And aqueous base constitutes at least 75% of the medicine. Only the other remaining 25% ingredients are the other ingredients. In the same way, Sthayi Bhav or Sthayi Rati forms 75% of the whole rasa. If we say Sakhya Ras, as for example, Sakhya Ras. So Sakhya Ras has at least 75% Sakhya Rati or Sakhya Sthayi Bhav as base ingredient. And on top of that, it has Vibhav, Anubhav, Sattvik and Vyabhichari, these other ingredients. And when they combine together with Sakhya Rati or Sakhya Sthayi Bhav, then the same Sakhya Rati becomes known as Sakhya Ras. This is true with all the five types of relationships, not only with Sakhya, with also with Vatsalya, also with Shringar, also with Dasya and also with Shant. So this is how the rasa is made. This is how the rasa is formed. So this is the same process that Bharat Muni used for explaining mundane so-called rasa. This is the same process. Even according to the Rasa Shastra of Bharat Muni, he also uses the same process. That any mundane mellow, when it is mixed with sattvic, vibhav, anubhav, etc., it becomes transformed into rasa. So same process and same technical terms are used, but in relationship to Krishna and his devotional service. And Rupa Goswami has been very successful in thoroughly, analytically establishing Bhagavad Bhakti on the basis of Rasa Shastra. And this act has not been done before by any other Acharya. And that is why Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Pada writes, Bhakti Purvai Hai Shrita Tam Tu Rasam Pashyet Yadatadhi Tam Naumi Satatam Rupam Nama Priya Janam Hare. Bhakti Purvai Hai Shrita Tam Tu. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Pada says, that this devotional service unto the lotus feet of Lord Krishna and or unto the lotus feet of Lord Narayana existed prior to Rupa Goswami, explained by different acharyas. Yes, certainly no doubt about that. Certainly no controversy or no dispute about that. Bhakti purvai hai shrita tamtu rasam pashyed yadattadhihi. But now what's the difference between Rupa Goswami and these others? That Rupa Goswami is the one rasam pashyed yadattadihi. He is the first person to establish bhakti as rasa, as rasatmika, in an analytical way, in a practical way, in a theoretical, philosophical way, based on logic and experience. And because Rupa Goswami is the first person to establish bhakti as rasatmika, that is why he is known as, he has been given the title of Adi Bhakti Rasa Prasthapanacharya. Adi Bhakti Rasa Prasthapanacharya. He is not Bhakti. He is not Bhakti Acharya or Adi Bhakti Acharya. He is Adi Bhakti Rasa Prasthapanacharya. Yes. That is the uniqueness. That is the unique contribution. The first, the original Acharya or preceptor who has established Krishna Bhakti as Rasa, Adi Bhakti Rasa Prasthapanacharya. And this is why and how he has been able to do so, by the inspiration and by the blessings and by being empowered by the potent desire of Sri Chaitanya Dev, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Many times in Jagannath Puri also Mahaprabhu graced him. And in Jagannath Puri, the most intimate associates of Mahaprabhu like Swarup Damodar, Rai Ramanand, Haridas Thakur, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, they also graced, they also blessed Rupa Goswami, they also empowered Rupa Goswami. Mahaprabhu Chaitanya himself empowered Rupa Goswami in Jagannath Puri. Then Mahaprabhu empowered Rupa Goswami also in Prayag. The Trinity, the conjunction of the Trinity of three holy rivers, Ganga, Yamuna and Saraswati, Prayag, Triveni Sangam. Rupa Goswami has given 10 days of instructions. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given 10 days of instructions to Rupa Goswami regarding the whole Bhakti Rasa Shastra. And using that, Rupa Goswami has been successful in doing that. And that is why Rupa Goswami in the very beginning of Bhakti Rasa Amrita Sindhu gives whole credit to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by saying, Hridiyasya preranaya varakar, Hridiyasya preranaya pravartitoham varakarupo api, Vandetasya padakamalam Shri Chaitanya Devasya. I bow down unto the lotus feet of Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is none other than Shri Hari personified, Shri Krishna personified, by whose inspiration, grace and empowerment have I been able, even though I am complete destitute, even though I am complete fool and rascal, I have been able to write this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Although I am completely ineligible to enter into this matter. See the humility, see the submissive attitude of our Goswami Padas. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he writes, Jagai madhai haite mui se papisht, puri shera kita haite mui se laghisht. What does he write? Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Kasturi Manjari of Krishna Leela. But now, you see, the most uniqueness is, if someone sees these Goswamis dressed up in loincloths, white loincloths, which are torn apart, which are very dirty, and their bodies are very thin, not not nutritioned properly. Their bodies are very thin because they do not eat much. They do not sleep much throughout the whole day. Whatever they get from Madhukari Vritti, whatever they get from begging in houses, they survive on that. And these Goswami Padas, they are, you know, they are just like any ordinary sadhu. If you look at them, they are like beggars practically. They are like beggars. They have no proper clothes to wear. They are just wearing one small thin cotton cloth which is torn apart and which has been dirty because it has been worn many times. And small cloth, small loin cloth, which does not even extend up to the knees and which does not even extend up to the feet, but rather which stays on top of the knees, just like a short underwear. They do not even have full lungi or full loincloth to cover their whole legs. And they just have small uttariya vastra, or that cotton cotton cloth, which they put on their shoulders or around their neck, and displaying this renunciation. Can one imagine that these beggar sadhus, externally appearing as beggars, they are the Rati Manjari and Rupa Manjari of the Nitya Krishna Leela? Can anyone imagine any conditioned soul if he is not aware of their real ontological position? Ye dar dar bhatakne wale, bhiksha mangne wale, bhikhari ke roop mein rehne wale, ye jo baba ji hain, ye jo sadhu hain, ye jo phakkad baba ji hain, ये क्या रूप मंजरी ललिता सखी विशाखा सखी रति मंजरी विलास मंजरी है क्या कृष्ण लीला में? जो कृष्ण लीला में बड़ी भाव भंगिमा और बड़ी मधुरिमा से युक्त होकर कटाक्ष जब मारती हैं श्री कृष्ण की ओर, तो श्री कृष्ण भी मुग्ध हो जाते हैं. क्या यही वो बाबा जी लोग हैं माधुकरी भिक्षा मांगने वाले? आर दीज रूप गोस्वामी सनातन गोस्वामी, आर दीज बेगर साधुज द सेम एज रूप मंजरी एंड रति मंजरी? When they with a crooked glance when they see Shri Krishna with their crooked glances, imbibing full feminine nature, then even Shri Krishna becomes subdued to them. Are these Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami the same as those Rupa and Rati Manjaris? Upon seeing whom even Shri Krishna becomes humbled, upon seeing the beauty of whom? Are these Goswamis the same Manjaris? One will not come to the same conclusion if he is not aware of their ontological position. No. That is why Kavi Karnapur Goswami has revealed the real ontological position of these Goswami Padas. They are the same as these Manjaris. Upon seeing the crooked glances of whom, even Shri Krishna becomes humbled and subdued. Yes. Yes. So, Srila Rupa Goswami Pad is Rupa Manjari, his ontological position in the Krishna Leela. And Rupa Manjari is the head of all the other types of Manjaris found. Whether Ragatmika Manjaris or Raganuga Manjaris, whether Kamatmika Manjaris or Kamanuga Manjaris. You see, there are three types of gopis in Shri Krishna's eternal pastimes of Vrindavan. The first type of are known as Krishna Snehadhika, or those gopis, or those, you know, cowherd damsels who have more affection and more love and who are more bent towards Shri Krishna and not so much towards Srimati Radhika. And there are second types of gopis who are equally disposed, who have equal affection, equal love for both Radha and Krishna. And there are third group of gopis who have more affection for Srimati Radhika and less for Shri Krishna. Krishna Snehadhika, Sam Sneha, and Radha Snehadhika. So Radha Snehadhika, who have more affection for Srimati Radhika and not so much for Krishna, are the Manjaris, beginning with Rupa Manjari, Rupa Goswami. And this is the mood of our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. All the Acharyas who are coming after Rupa Goswami, because they are called Rupanugas, because they are called the staunch followers of Rupa Goswami, they are imbibing the same mood within their hearts as Rupa Manjari, Rupa Goswami does. That means they are also considering themselves maid servants of Srimati Radhika under the footsteps of Rupa Goswami, and they are more disposed towards Srimati Radhika than towards Shri Krishna. This is the special quality of Bhavollas Rati, a very technical term of Ujjwal Nilmani. That means the same as the Manjari Bhav or the moods of these gopis of Raja. They are more disposed towards Srimati Radhika. They are thinking that we have no direct connection with Shri Krishna. Our mistress is only Srimati Radharani. But because Srimati Radharani loves Shri Krishna, we also love Shri Krishna. Yes, this is Manjari Bhav. This is the mood of the Acharyas coming in the line of Mahaprabhu and then in the line of Rupa Goswami. And Rupa Goswami is the head of all these Manjaris, of all these Manjaris, of all the maid servants of Srimati Radhika. Rupa Goswami is the chief of them. And that is why Rupa Goswami is one of the most intimate associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than Sri Radha and Krishna combined. That is why I will now terminate our discussion by two shlokas, by reciting two shlokas in glorification of Rupa Goswami. Now we have understood the author of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu in quite proper way. Now, next time when we will come, we will try to actually ponder over the actual the actual material of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Now we have since understood the author properly. Now we are in full position, right position to appreciate the book in a proper way. So it has been said by Narottam Das Thakur in Prem Bhakti Chandrika. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam. When will Srila Rupa Goswami Pad, Narottam Das Thakur is praying in Prem Bhakti Chandrika, when will Srila Rupa Goswami Pad grant me the dust of his lotus feet, the shelter of his lotus feet? And this Rupa Goswami Pad, he is the one who has actually fulfilled the innermost desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by establishing bhakti on the basis of Rasa Shastra, by establishing Raganuga and Ragatmika bhakti, by exposing this Manjari Bhav and all these other transcendental, very esoteric concepts of spirituality. Very high concepts of spirituality. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale. After many millenniums, Rupa Goswami has again given to the material world, to the mankind, what had been lost so far, which had not been given for a long time. Anarpita Charim Chirat Karunayavati Ranaha Kalau. This is Rupa Goswami's unique position. He has fulfilled the innermost desire of Mahaprabhu. And Raghunath Das Goswami is praying in Mukta Charitra that Adadanastrinam Dantair Idam Yache Punaha Punaha Shri Madrupa Padam Bhoja Dhulihisyam Janma Janmani. I request, Raghunath Das Goswami says, I request to become just one particle of the foot dust attached to the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami by tying piece of cloth around my neck and by putting blade and straw of grass in my mouth. I humbly submit before Rupa Goswami that I do not know who is Radha, who is Krishna, who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but O Rupa Goswami, I only know you. Please give me the benediction of becoming just a single particle of dust attached to your lotus feet. I do not want to become anything more. Raghunath Das Goswami. And that is why Srila Prabhupada, being the Acharya, being the foremost Acharya of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, of the preceptorial line descending from Sri Chaitanya Dev, has also written in the very beginning of the introduction to the Nectar of Instruction, Upadeshamritam, that actually the real in charge or the real superintendent of this Krishna consciousness movement which I have established is Srila Rupa Goswami. Srila Prabhupada gives the whole credit to Rupa Goswami because it is the natural trend and the general mood of all the Acharyas of this Sampradaya to follow in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami, who is the foremost and most intimate associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The time of Aarti has just come and we have now given some rest to our discussion, which will be continued next year, hopefully. Hare Krishna. Thus ends the seminar on Nectar of Devotion in Sri Sri Radha Kala Chandiji Temple in the city of Dallas, Texas, USA. Hare Krishna. Bolo Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu ki, Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada ki, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol.